Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
The Mets just continue to do what the Mets do. They have gone from 10 games over to 10 games under in 2 months. God bless the Mets. The Mets. Oops. Freudian slip. The Yankees started a guy that before our show yesterday at 10 o'clock in the morning, I didn't even know how to pronounce his name. I'm not even sure I know how to pronounce his name now. Loaiza? But this guy comes out, he's throwing 97. Now, look, the Rays are not a good baseball team, but it doesn't matter. Yankees, they roll along, and the thing is, they don't need everyone to be great. Like, you see what happens in the Mets. Cespedes goes out for a minute, they can't hit. And for some reason, there's this mindset that if Cespedes comes back, all of a sudden, everyone starts to hit. Like Conforto starts to hit. And Reyes starts to hit. And Plawecki starts to hit. And Flores starts to hit. And I don't know why that's the case. I don't know why everyone has this belief that the second Cespedes gets back. Look, the Mets need to make wholesale changes. And you watch them now, and you're apathetic. Like, I can't even watch the Mets now and get frustrated, because the records and the numbers, they mount, they go up and up. You know, now it's what, 10 games in a row, they haven't scored three runs or more, or more than three runs. They've now lost, what, 12 of the last 13. Remember that? They're 11-1. Dave, they're 11-1. I mean, do you know how, that's money in the bank. That means if you lose 5 out of 7 later in the year, you're still fine, because you've gone 11-1. They've now lost 12 of their last 13. They can't score a run. And you'd say, God, is it frustrating? Do you get angry? I it's sad to tell you. I don't even care. Like, I'm watching the game last night. Goldschmidt with a home run. Lugo was not very good. But they've taken the will away from me. And I think that's what this team has done. Do I blame, I almost said Terry, do I blame Mickey Callaway? Yeah, I don't think he's been great. I don't know that he has a million options. You know, some teams would call on the minor league system and say, we've got to bring new faces and new blood and fresh guys in and at least give them a chance to play their game. The Mets are so barren in the farm system, they can't even do that. They can't do anything. The bullpen is a train wreck right now. You're going to look back. I'm telling you, you're going to look back. If you really are a sports fan and look back in 20 years from now and say to yourself, that 2018 Mets team was an absolute disaster offensively. Like, this is historical proportions horrendous is what they are. Every day, one run, two runs, no runs. The Orioles are bad, right? We all sit here, we would agree the Orioles are a dreadful baseball team. They are the laughing stock of Major League Baseball. Is that fair? Can we agree with that? The Orioles are 19-49. Their run differential is -120. So on the year, they've been outscored by 120 runs. They are a miraculous 27.5 games back of the New York Yankees. And when they played the Mets 10 days ago, you know what they did? They destroyed them is what they did. And let me give you a recap of what the Orioles have done since they left Citi Field, beating the Mets 1-0 on a Wednesday afternoon. Lost to Toronto 5-4. That's one. Lost to Toronto 5-1. That's two. Lost to Toronto 4-3. That's three. Lost to Toronto 13-3. Series sweep. That's four. Lost to Boston 2-0. Five. Lost to Boston 6-4. Six. Lost to Boston 5-1. Seven. and to put the whipped cream on, the sprinkles, the chocolate sauce, and the cherry. Last night, at home, against Miami, lost 2-0. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Since they beat the Mets, 1-0 on June 6th, this venerable sensation of a baseball team at 30 games under 500 with 19 wins on the season has lost 8 in a row. And before that, the Yankees destroyed them. June 2nd, 8-5. June 1st, 4-1. And before that, loss, 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 loss. So they lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games before they played the Mets. Swept the Mets in 2 and have gone on to lose 8 more consecutive games. What more do you need to hear about the New York Mets? And I don't care what Fred Wilpon says, what Sandy Alderson says, what Mickey Callaway says. Right now, what's happening is nothing short of an absolute unmitigated disaster. And you know what I said earlier in the year, 3 weeks into the season, and I said this on the airwaves, and you can go get the tape. I said, you know what, Mets fans? You finally have a good team, it looks like. Get off your butt on a Saturday or a Tuesday or a Wednesday. You got Noah Syndergaard on the mound. You got Jacob DeGrom on the mound. You get yourself out to Citi Field because this team is playing really well. And you should support them. Well, you know what? Stay on the couch. Don't get up. Don't go anywhere. You know why? Because this team has turned into the National League version of the Baltimore Orioles.
Make sure that it doesn't throw us into some kind of tailspin.
Games up to 10 games under in a 2 month span. 800-919-3776. So I don't want to hear, oh, you always sugarcoat it for your team. You're not a true fan. I'm a true fan. And being a true fan, you have to look at your team and admit the foibles, the issues, the great, the good, the bad. And I see it clear as day. There are some that will sit here and tell you that this thing's going to turn around. It's not that bad. There's no reason to worry. The future's going to be okay. You trade DeGrom. You get some young pieces. The reason that it's so unbelievably upsetting is because there's no way you can convince me that this is changing anytime soon. And then you look 12 miles away, and you have a team that can't lose. And that is a terrific baseball team. Now, do I think they have flaws? I do think they have flaws. But I think everybody has flaws. But the Yankees, I've said it for weeks now. And I'm going to hammer it home, being that they're tied atop the division now with the Red Sox, who lost last night, blew a 6-3 lead, and lost out in Seattle, the surprise of Major League Baseball this year, by the final of 7-6. The Yankees will win this division by 7 games. And you will get to the end of the regular season with a cup of coffee and a Danish watching Yankees games with your feet up on the couch. That's how good they are. Sanchez has stunk. Didi has been decent. Judge has been good, not great. Stanton, I mean, to say anything shy if he's underwhelmed, I think would be unfair. And the Yankees are still sitting here at 45-20 in great position right now to win 113 or 12 or something in that range. So you have the tale of two different stories here, right? You have the Mets who stink. And to say stink, like, it underwhelms the word stink to say that. That's how bad the Mets are. I can't even think of, I mean, it's gotta be worse. Stink is like, not that bad. Stink is like you open the hamper and there's dirty underwear in it. This is beyond that. This is an abomination, is what the Mets are right now. And the Yankees, you open the hamper, smells like roses. Luis Ziga, whatever his name is, comes in last night. Shutout baseball. You shutout baseball. You shutout baseball. It's like Oprah. You get a car, and you get a car, and you get a car. Chad Green, David Robertson, Adam Warren, Luis Ziga, anybody. Shutout baseball, shutout baseball, shutout baseball. So we'll get it to the Knicks, and we'll get it to a little bit of the golf. I'd love to hear from you Tiger people. Think, no, he's gonna don't worry, he's going to turn it around. That's the Tiger people that think it's going to turn around and still hold that hope are the same people that like dated a girl 5 years ago and think, no, she's going to call. It's going to work out.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
We'll get into the NBA also. A lot of exciting stuff. I don't know if you saw last night, Kawhi Leonard came out and said, I don't want to be with the Spurs anymore. Now, apparently he wants to go to the Knicks, but here's the issue, guys. The Knicks don't have anything to trade. They don't have anything to trade. I mean, you're not gonna accept a torn knee of Kristaps Porzingis. And other than that, outside of having the 9 pick this year and the potential of a high pick next year, they have nothing. Nothing to deal. Argentina with a goal. Guy who scored it. Not Messi. That's all I can give you. That's the soccer kind of insight that we can give you here on this show. Argentina scores. Beautiful left-footed shot. Guy that scored was not Messi. 800-919-3776. Dean in Queens. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Dave, thank you so much for taking my call. Happy Father's Day to everybody out there.
Thank you.
You've got me amped, Dave. I mean, between you and LaGreca, I vent vicariously through the two of you. These Mets, I don't know what to do. I'm ironic. It's Happy Father's Day to everybody, and I'm looking at my son the other day, and I'm going, don't root for this team. Don't fall in love with them. Don't break your heart. That's sad.
It's very sad, but you know what? And we sit here and we say it's Alderson, it's Callaway, it's the players. It all starts at the top. It does. It all starts at the top. And the fact is that the Wilpons have done a terrible job with ownership with this club.
For sure. I mean, you know, people are talking about the Grom being traded. I mean, you know what? Blow it up. Might as well.
Well, what's the difference? I mean, DeGrom pitches. He allows one run over seven innings, and you lose 1-0 or 2-0.
And Dave, you might know this too, but we've done this historically to great pitchers. We did it to Johan Santana. We did it to Tom Glavine too. These Mets could never win games for these great pitchers.
And how about yesterday? I think it was the 41-year. Thanks for the call, Dean. The 41-year anniversary of the trade of Tom Seaver. I mean, just to throw a little salt right into the wound and mix it around, right? The greatest pitcher this franchise, maybe the greatest player this franchise has ever seen. And they trade him away in the middle of the night. And yesterday is the 41-year anniversary. And they're showing it on the telecast. Tom Seaver breaking down in front of the media. June 15th, 1977, I guess. 800-919-3776. It really is unbelievable. It's amazing to think. Because, listen, are they a good baseball team? No. But when you look at this team and some of the pieces, you're hard-pressed to think that they would be this bad offensively. Now, Conforto just doesn't seem right. You know, Frazier's a professional hitter. I mean, you watch these at-bats, and it's so bad that Todd Frazier has to apologize to Jacob deGrom after the game the other night. That's how bad it is. It's so bad that he has to take the microphone and say, man, I am really sorry. Like, this is, you don't hear stuff like this. This doesn't happen in sports, that you're so bad for so long that you actually have to apologize. Ugh, this is uncharted territory offensively that the Mets are in right now. And how about this, mind you? Top of the second last night for the Mets, Jose Bautista walks. Dom Smith, great hit. Crushes a double to left, Bautista to third. Second and third, nobody out. How many runs do you think they score? Let's play the game. Ty, how many runs do you think the Mets scored? Second and third, nobody out, top two. Against Zach Godley, who for his life couldn't find the strike zone last night.
You know what, Ty? Ty's a little busy right now. I'm going to say they didn't score any, Dave.
That's correct. Kevin Plawecki grounds out to third, and then Ahmed Rosario flies out to center. Bautista gets thrown out by Dyson trying to come home.
Not good.
No, No, I would agree. Not good. Now, listen to this. In the third, leadoff single from Lugo, hit by pitch Conforto, double from Frazier. How many runs? Single, hit by pitch, double.
You should at least get one
runs,
there.
How many runs in that inning?
You should at least get one.
One. They get one.
Well, they got one.
Second and third. Goal by Iceland. 1-1. Second and third. Nobody out. One run in. What do you think Nimmo does?
Strikeout.
Right. Cabrera?
Strikeout.
And why stop there? Bautista.
Strikeout.
So the Mets had, in the second, second and third, nobody out, no runs. Second and third in the third, nobody out, one run in, one run scored. Followed by a strikeout, and a strikeout.
I mean, with all that said, though, they still ended up scoring the three runs last night, which is
really,
not.
Put your head on the pillow. I don't have.
Which
this
is more
I'm
than
not having this conversation. Three runs. You had a guy that couldn't find the strike zone. Alex Avila's making stops behind the plate that make Gary Sanchez weep. They were so beautiful. Three runs. Stop it. Ozzie Roslin. Ozzie, you're on 98.7.
Hey, it's actually Uzi, but this is my point. I'm a Yankee fan, and I have a lot of friends that are Mets fans who basically don't watch games anymore. And I don't understand why there's this loyalty that fans have to the team when the team doesn't give it back to them. I'll give you an analogy. If I tell you can see two movies, one of them is going to be amazing, action-packed, the best movie stars, everything's going to be great, the ending's going to be great, and the other one's going to be slow, boring, you're not going to know anybody, and you're going to be disappointed at the end. Why would you continuously watch that terrible movie?
Yeah, but you have an allegiance. How about if your best friend is the actor in that terrible movie? That's a terrible analogy.
Wait, let me tell you, though.
That was a horrendous analogy. You clearly didn't study analogy in school.
No. Listen. If you have two girls, if you have one who's doing everything right by you, she's pretty, she's always on time, she's always taking care of you, and then you have another one that's terrible, that's always late, that's cheating on you, that's messing up, that's always injured, that's all these problems, why would you continue to do that? I mean, people get divorced when the person that's with them isn't good for them. If the team is really trying, if the Mets were really trying, I would understand. But you don't feel like they're doing that. So why do you have to be there for them when they're not there?
Because you're a fan of the team. Because that's what being a fan is. Otherwise, you're not a fan. Uzi, do you know what the word fan stands for?
Fanatic.
Fanatic, right. So if you're a fan, a fanatic of a team, if they go through a slump where they don't score more than three runs for 30 straight games, or they can't hit, or they can't do this, you just, you know what, I'm done?
No, it's not that you're done. You don't have to stop being a fan of the team, but I know so many fans who will not watch. And for me, baseball, I can't wait for this season to start. And if I had to not watch games...
The season started 3 months ago.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, I enjoy every day getting to get home, put on the TV, and there's always a game on. But if my team was terrible and you can't watch them and it's disappointing and it's stressful and annoying, you got nothing to watch for 3-4 months.
So you're a Yankees fan or you're a Mets fan?
I'm a big Yankees fan.
Yeah, and this is why you're a spoiled baby, because you don't understand what it's like to have your team lose and to stand by them.
No, because you know I have a lot of Mets fans who don't watch. They just stop watching. They said they sent it in for the season. They're going to wait till next year. I say, well, at least watch the
but
Yankees.
But you don't, thanks for the call. You don't get it. You don't understand. Don't put yourself in if I was a Mets, you're not a Mets fan. You don't know the trials and tribulations that goes through day in and day out to be a Mets fan. You can't compare what the Mets fan has to go through. You're bringing up guys nobody's even heard of, and they throw six shutout innings for you. So it's not comparable. No, it's not, and I'm done. It's not comparable. No, I'm done with the conversation. It's not comparable. You can't compare the Mets fan life to the Yankees fan life. The Yankees fan is sitting at the Four Seasons having people, spritz them if it gets over 81 degrees. The Mets fan is sitting at the awful, brutal place. Where they don't even serve alcohol. So give me a break. And you know what? That right there, I don't know. I can't understand the Mets. No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't. You're married. Your wife gets into a mood. Your wife is miserable for a month or two or whatever, has issues at work. You done? Or do you stand by her? And the analogies that he came up with. Whew. Joel in Jersey. Joel, you're on 98.7.
Good morning, Dave. Happy Father's Day. I appreciate your kid when you talk about the basketball stuff and the parent in the stands. That's me with the refs. It's hilarious what you do during basketball season. Okay, just let me get this through, and I might be wrong about the years, but let's use a 13-year window. Give me the only three athletes that have pinnacled their sport where they didn't even get beat. I'm going to say Bill Russell, Floyd Mayweather, and Tiger Woods. Dominate tennis sport to the biggest extreme that they possibly can, and maybe a 13, 12, 14-year period. I know you know more than that about it, but there's a time and period where those three athletes never got beat and pinnacled their sport to where we were like, wow, look at what Russell's doing. They won 13 in a row or 14 in a row. And Tiger did the same thing. Tiger was never hurt on his mad run, winning all those Opens and Masters, and he was never hurt. All of a sudden, all the karma came through. The stuff with his behavior, then his back got hurt. How come the guy swinging a golf club since he's 4 years old only got hurt when the karma came? Karma. Same thing with Floyd. Karma, Dave. You can't do this shimmy like what's his name did to Curry, and then think you're going to win a championship. Karma to me in sports, if you're not humble, there's a caddy up in the sky. That's the caddy that Tiger needs, the one that's up in the sky. Don't you agree?
Nah, I don't know. I mean, I don't really believe in sports karma. If sports karma existed, the Eagles would not be Super Bowl champions right now.
I knew you were going to say that.
Right?
I knew you were going to say that.
All right, well, thanks for the call.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
800-919-3776. Billy in Queens. Bill, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, Dave. Happy Father's Day to you.
Thank you so much, Bill. Same to you.
I guess, like, we had the fans saying the fans aren't watching the Mets. And I have to totally disagree. When you look at certain markets, like New York markets, or maybe like Boston, you go to these bigger cities, the fans are there regardless of how bad the teams are. You get mad. I mean, you're a lifelong Mets fan. You've been frustrated for up and down for years. But to say that the fans aren't there, I mean, look at the Knicks. They sell out every single
every
night.
Game.
Awful. And they're awful. They're awful. But you know, I just think it's time that the Mets really take their upper management ownership really needs to look at what's going on. I mean, Batista getting caught tagging up. If you watch that play, Dyson had all his momentum going forward. He was like a train running in for that ball.
Yeah, but you had the pitcher spot up next.
Yeah, and you had yeah, I understand that, but the catcher could have had a cup of coffee waiting for Batista to come in and slide.
But is this any surprise to you? I mean, this is what they do. This is who they are.
And then Plowecki, I think it was, getting picked off with that. I don't even know if that was a bunt or something. He got picked off at first. I think it was Plowecki. They're just awful. But I don't
they are almost unwatchable. They really are. If you didn't love them, thanks for the call, Bill. If you didn't love them, you'd never watch. Like, you would keep it off all the time. And please do me a favor. You're a Yankees fan. I get it. You're excited. You should be, and rightfully so. But don't critique how the Mets fan goes about being a Mets fan. You worry about your team. We'll worry about our team. Okay? Brad in Harlem. Brad, you're on 98.7.
Yeah, I just thought about Tiger. You know, the only comparison I can think of is Ben Hogan. I mean, he got in a massive car crash. He could hardly use his legs. He should have won the 1960 U.S. Open if it wasn't for Arnold Palmer coming back and shooting a 65 on the last day. And I know people are saying Tiger's out, but, I mean, look at Hogan. I mean, you're telling me that Tiger Woods is not as good as Ben Hogan? Come on, man.
Tiger Woods hasn't won a major in a decade. And I'm not saying that
but look at Hogan. Hogan was in the same situation. He was in his 50s.
You think the level of golf pervasive throughout the sport was the same that it is today? You think that Ben Hogan was trying to get by a Dustin Johnson?
You had Arnold Palmer, you had Jack Nicklaus, you had Lee Trevino, you had Chichi Rodriguez, you had all these young players, and Ben Hogan in his 50s was competing against these guys.
So, what does that mean? You think Tiger Woods has more majors than him? Is that what the point?
Well, granted, yeah, if it wasn't for the war, I'm sure Hogan would have won a ton more majors.
Forget about Ben Hogan for a second, Brad. The point is, in your mind, Tiger is going to win more majors.
Yeah.
What leads you to believe that?
I mean, he's one of the best ball strikers that's ever played the game. He's won 14 majors.
When was the last time, Brad, he won a major?
Obviously before he got injured.
Which is 10 years ago?
It was a while ago.
10 years ago. So he hasn't won a major in 10 years, and just because Ben Hogan in 1950-something did something, you're going to buy into the fact that Tiger Woods can do it also?
Well, you got to have some kind of comparison. That's the only comparison we have of a golfer who's as elite as Tiger Woods. Tiger dominated. I mean, dominated.
Here's what you're missing here. Dominated. Past tense.
Yeah, dominated. Same with Hogan. He was out. He could hardly walk. But move on.
I mean, Brad, this is 2018. Ben Hogan was a long time ago now.
Yeah, it's a long time ago, but also you got to think mentally, too. I mean, golf isn't just one of those sports like every other sport that you can physically dominate. It's one of those sports there's a lot of mental aspects to
but
it.
Brad, up until recently, he couldn't even, thanks for the call, he couldn't even finish the tournaments. Like, forget about winning. He couldn't go four consecutive days of playing. And I'm not saying that a large part of it is not due to his back. I'm just saying that everyone is so desperate. So desperate to find this way of Tiger Woods and what he's capable of doing and how he's not. He's done. He is done. Now, it does not mean that he can't compete. But I think it'd be hard-pressed to expect Tiger Woods to win another major. I mean, when was the last time that in a major Tiger was within striking distance on the final day? Doesn't really happen anymore. And I don't care about Ben Hogan, which is 60 years ago. I'm talking about now. George in Saddle River. George, you're on 98.7. Go ahead, George, you're on. Or maybe you're not. Let's go to Wade in Newark. Wade, you're up.
Hey, what's up, man? Good to talk to you, man.
Listen, appreciate the call. Go ahead.
I need to do me one favor, man. I'm a lifelong Met fan like you. I'm a Giant fan like you, Knicks fan, and so I'm suffering. But here's my thing. You guys take these calls, and when these guys call about opinions about the Mets, and they say, but I'm a Yankee fan, or but I'm a whatever fan, you guys should hit the button. If you don't want to hit it, let me hit the button. I don't want to hear nothing about it from a fan that's not a fan of the team. I don't want to hear it.
Well, listen, you're entitled to call with your opinion. Listen, here's the thing. You can call and be a smart baseball fan and be a Yankees fan and come up with a real analysis. I think that the Mets should trade DeGrom, but be fair. You know, don't call with these nonsensical, I think the Mets should trade. We had a guy yesterday, DeGrom and Syndergaard to the Yankees. I mean, for Stanton. I mean, stop it. I mean, really, go back into your hole. So that's the thing. I look at the Yankees and I dislike them immensely.
Right.
But I can look and say, this guy's great, that guy's great, they're a terrific team. I mean, they are the best or second best team in baseball right now. Period. End of sentence. And I'm a Mets fan. So I don't understand why the Yankees fan can't do the same in regards to the Mets. But for some reason, they are completely, for the most part, they're completely incapable of doing that.
Right.
Right? And there you go. All right, Wade, have a good day. 800-919-3776. Let's slowly start to get in to the New York Knicks. And everybody wants Kawhi Leonard, and everybody wants Kyrie Irving. Couple of questions here. First of all, how are you getting these guys? All right, you don't have the chips in play to get these guys. Porzingis, do you really want to trade him? First of all. Second of all, he doesn't have the same value. The guy is, you know, in the middle of a ACL rehab. The 9 pick certainly has some value. Next year's pick, to me, is untradeable. Because I'm going to have a bad year this year, and there's no way I'm trading what is potentially going to be a top 3 pick in that draft. So, here's the question, Knicks fans. Are you prepared to go through an awful season? I'm talking about a 18-win, horrible year, with the hopes that the year after, things are much, much brighter. Which for the first time in a long time is a real possibility.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Let's go to Spike in Jersey. Spike, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Well, first of all, good morning and a wonderful Father's Day to a wonderful father.
Oh, thank you very much, Spike, and the same to you.
Thank you. I appreciate everything you do. You know that. I figured out that the Knicks are to the Warriors what the Mets are to the Yankees. Would that be a pretty good analogy?
Give it to me again.
The Knicks are to the Warriors what the Mets are to the Yankees.
Yeah, except that there's no rivalry with the Knicks and the Warriors.
No.
And the Mets and the Yankees are in the same city. But I guess it's not terrible.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not as bad as Mr. Analogy you called earlier in the show with the worst analogies you've ever heard.
Yeah, you get the whole mix of the callers and hosts, and everything seems to work out. Do you have anything for the boys planning, anything special? Is this all a big surprise for you?
I don't know. Alex has a lacrosse tournament on Long Island, so he'll be out there with his mom, and Ben has baseball practice. It's business as usual. You know what I don't understand, Spike? Let me complain. Can I vent to you for a minute?
Absolutely.
Everything shuts down for Mother's Day. Mother's Day, it's like sport. There's no sports. There's no nothing. But Father's Day, it's business as usual, and it's, I'll leave it at that. It's business as usual on Father's Day.
Well, I'm going to entertain an answer on that with your consent, is that we can't have children.
No, that's the best thing that ever happened to me or my kids.
I don't think we can handle the pain.
Spike, you got something sports related?
Yes, I do, very much sports related. I think that the people that are saying are Mets fans and are saying they're not watching the Mets fans are frauds.
I would agree with you wholeheartedly. If you're a fan of the Mets, you watch the Mets.
Yeah.
Now, if you have plans on Saturday night and you just kind of follow it on your phone and you're like, it's 162 games. So you'd be hard pressed to say you're going to watch the bulk of every game. But if you're a fan of the Mets, see, here's the thing, Spike, and thanks for the phone call. If you're a fan of a team, and happy Father's Day to you certainly as well, you're a fan of a team. So if that team is winless, if you're a Detroit Lions fan and they're winless, you're a Lions fan. If you're a Browns fan and they're winless, you're a Browns fan. You can go, you can boo, you can watch it, you can say they stink, you can post on Twitter how disappointed and disgusted you are. But here's the thing. If you believe that you're a fan of a team, and if that team is bad, you give up on them, then I have a little quick newsflash for you. You're not a fan of the team. You're a fraud, is what you are. Eric in Queens. Eric, you're on 98.7.
Good morning, Dave. Happy Father's Day.
Same to you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I have a few quick questions for you. Okay, now your co-host Chris Canyon said something like a couple of days ago. He said, how about for next year, Kyrie comes to the Knicks, LeBron comes to Boston. Now,
yeah, let me process this. Kyrie comes to the Knicks, LeBron goes to Boston.
Yeah. Now, I have a few questions, and give me your idea. Where do you really see LeBron being at next year? Boston, Philly, or staying in Cleveland?
I don't think any of those three. I think he's going to go to the West. I think Lakers, Rockets, Spurs.
You really think the West?
I think the West. I do.
All right.
Why would unless they get huge value, why would Danny Ainge trade Kyrie Irving?
I think he'd do good over with the Knicks, but like you said, they don't got nobody to get.
They don't have anything to trade.
Yeah.
I mean, and here's the thing, and we discuss this all the time on our show, 10 o'clock, Monday through Friday, Humpty, Canty, and Rothenberg with you on 98.7 ESPN. Do you put together a package and bring Kyrie Irving in? Or do you hope that you can sign him in the offseason? See, the ideal for the Knicks, Eric, and thanks for the phone call, and have a great weekend and a wonderful Father's Day as well. The ideal for the Knicks, and I'm not saying it's going to play out like this, but the ideal is you stink this year. You win 17 games. Porzingis does not play. You sign Kyrie Irving in the offseason. KP comes back healthy. You hit on Porter or Bridges, or Young, or whoever at the 9 spot, you have a top, maybe even the top pick, but, you know, a top 2 or 3 pick, and you land another stud. So now I got Irving, Kyrie, young player this year, young player next year, maybe Frank develops a little bit. There is the makings of a team.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Today's Around the Diamond brought to you by Volvo of Glen Cove. Now, if you missed the Mets' offensive explosion last night, they did put three runs on the board. The problem is they lost by the final score of 7-3. They're terrible. I mean, they've lost 12 of 13. They can't score a run. The lineup is a disaster. You look at every team around baseball. Batting second for the Yankees is Judge. Batting second for the Red Sox is Mookie Betts. Batting second for the Diamondbacks, Paul Goldschmidt. Batting second for the Mets, Todd Frazier. And I'm not being mean to Todd Frazier. If he was able to crack the Yankees roster right now, would probably be like the 25th guy. Like, he wouldn't play. He'd be a guy that, you know, when you play the backups on a Sunday afternoon after you've played six games in 5 days kind of thing, that would be Todd Frazier. Everybody else in Major League Baseball puts up a 300 hitter or a 400 on base percentage and a guy that's got 19 home runs and 52 RBIs and lights the world on fire, and the Mets put Todd Frazier up there. You can't make it up what they are right now. And for some reason, everyone has this thought that, well, when Cespedes gets back, listen, Cespedes is a nice player when he's healthy. But it's not like he's going to turn guys that are garbage into big-time players. And you know what the one that frustrates me the most, and I don't blame him entirely, but it's like a microcosm of what the organization is Jose Reyes. Why on God's green earth is Jose Reyes on this team? He's a terrible defensive player. He has little to no speed at this point of his career. Offensively, he's horrendous, but the Mets stand by him. No, we don't. You know, he's a part of the history and tradition of this franchise, so we have to be respectful. You know what? How about this? How about have a respectful release party for Jose Reyes? The most respectful. Have cake. Really? Streamers? Confetti? But can we say goodbye to this guy? I mean, there has to be somebody somewhere that's better than Jose Reyes. And then you get the Yankees. And now the Yankees, they win. They won the first two against Tampa. And now today you get Severino on the mound. And this is a bullpen day for Tampa. So that means they're going to have some starter pitch an inning, and then they're going to go to their pen for the rest of the game. Yankees win 5-0 last night. Jonathan Loaiziga gets the win. Evaldi looked good last night, by the way, for the Rays. I don't know that I would say he's off the schneid, but Gary Sanchez had a bases-clearing double in the eighth inning, and the Yankees easily win this 5-0. And you know what? For me, I don't know how you feel, 800-919-3776. For me, let me think, it's the biggest. It's big. I don't know if it's the biggest, but one of the biggest. I mean, right up there is that Dellin Betances looks like Dellin Betances again. Because you like Robertson, but if you can have confidence in Betances in the eighth and go Green 6, Robertson 7, Betances 8, Chapman 9, I mean, that's some of the best relievers you've ever heard of. Yankees at it again, 1 o'clock, Severino on the mound. That's today's Around the Diamond, brought to you by Volvo of Glen Cove, the number one dealer in the country. Visit their winning team at Volvo Cars Glen Cove and drive off with confidence and your new Volvo, and do that today. 800-919-3776. Robin Queens, you're up next on 98.7 ESPN.
What's going on, Dave?
How are you, Robert?
Good. I actually have 2 points. One point is about the Father's Day, because I heard, I think his name was Spike. He was talking about how Father's Day, how, you know, and you were saying that it's like an everyday thing, you know, same thing as business. It's funny, I seen a picture and it said for Mother's Day, on TV you see advertisements for jewelry $3,000.
Right.
And on Father's Day you see $11 cargo shorts at Target.
Yeah, tie.
So it's kind of funny, but
right, I'm hoping for socks tomorrow. Socks would be nice.
Some high socks or something like that, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Something.
Yeah. The reason why I call is because I feel like other than DeGrom being the most valuable player in the whole Mets roster, the next valuable player, I think, will be, other than Syndergaard, obviously, is Cabrera. Because as a second baseman he's not recently.
Yeah, but how much value does he really have? I mean, he's an old, slow player who's on the final year of his contract.
I feel like he could be like a Bruce of of last year when we traded him to the Indians.
Well, listen, he has some value. If you think you're getting a big prospect back for Asdrubal Cabrera, Robert, you're barking up the
wrong
tree.
No, not at all.
You'll get a player. You'll get a player.
Because they'll feel like, you know, since he's in last year of his contract, and a person who's a second baseman, I mean, and he batted 270, and maybe he's like, you know, maybe 20 home runs in a year. I think that's a valuable player, especially to
you. A marginal prospect in return for Asdrubal Cabrera.
Yeah, well, that's better than what we have now. I mean, we don't really have anybody in our infield.
Listen, I don't disagree. You know what I was thinking about? Thanks for the call. Here's what I was thinking about. I want your take on it. You know, maybe if you do wind up dealing a Jacob DeGrom, maybe you can force that team to take Jay Bruce. Maybe you can force that team to take a Todd Frazier. Because these guys are just, I mean, they're eating up cap space. And they're just not—they're not very good. Now, Frazier, I guess, is okay. Bruce is a disaster. I mean, he's having—I'm not even exaggerating. For a guy that bats in the top of the lineup consistently, you know, 4, 5, 3, somewhere in that range, he's having one of the worst seasons you could ever imagine. So maybe if you do deal a Jacob DeGrom, you can force that team to take some of your high-priced, mediocre talent. Really? And the thing is, you know, it would be so nice for the Mets to go out and make a play for a Manny Machado. Like trade Steven Matz and Ahmed Rosario for Manny Machado. Sign him to a long-term deal and have your fan base say, you know what, at least we're in the business of trying to win. But they're not going to do that. They're going to shop at the five and dime and see if there's a guy, you know, that has some value that they can get at a very nominal amount. That's what this team is right now. Matt in the truck. Matt, you're on 98.7. What's up, Matt? How are you?
I'm good. I drive a truck like 10 hours a day, so I literally am on the station and don't come off of it. But a little background. So
who's your favorite personality, Matt, on the station? Tell me the truth. Your favorite personality would be who?
Listen, I'm much more like you because I am like the water bottle by the couch Giant fan like you. So, like, I'm messed up like that. But, to be honest, I'm kind of like, I fancy myself kind of like a tough guy, but I'm kind of like a D-bag about it. So Rick, you know, that's kind of like my guy.
So you love Rick. So you love our show, though.
It's the best show. It's the best show on the station. The K show's okay. You know, some guys are good, but you guys are the best. You know?
Well, you're very nice, Matt. You're a nice man. What's on your mind today?
But about the Knicks. Now, mind you, I'm about to be about 33 years old, so you figure my time frame, growing up watching sports. Now, the Giants are king in my life, but when I was a kid growing up, falling in love with sports, we were in the Dave Brown, Kent Graham era, the Giants. But the Knicks, you know, that was everything. That was you and the Stars.
Right.
That was the playoff runs. And now it's been 20 years, so 25 years, pretty much. But for everybody to start lighting their hair on fire over Kawhi and all these things, we're actually, for the first time, not in a horrible place. And the Porzingis injury is kind of like a blessing in disguise in the way that the way it all ties out with Kyrie becoming a free agent next year, with us freeing up some cap after this year, having this ninth pick, and then next year with no Porzingis, if we do not upgrade the team, we're headed for very low in lottery picks.
And the kid is R.J. Barrett. He's Canadian. He's going to Duke. He is going to be an absolute sensation at the next level.
Well, that on top of if we could get a strong rotational player, borderline starter, maybe we hit the jackpot and find a Donovan Mitchell this year.
All right.
That's fantastic. But the next lottery pick, Porzingis back fully healthy, that is your real chance to lure Kawhi, who will be coming off, will be a signed extension. He'll be a full-blown free agent. Kyrie, we all know, wants to come here, a hometown kid, full-blown free agent. We could be an actual player in 2 years.
It's possible. I mean, here's the thing. Thanks for the call, Matt. Do I think they're finally at a position where they're, although maybe at the bottom of it, looking to move right? And looking to move in the right direction, and there's a plan in place. Yes, I don't want to say begrudgingly because that's not the right word. I hesitantly will say that is true. But you know what? and this is tough to say as someone that really loves the Knicks, bad organizations do bad things a lot. And I feel like with the Knicks right now, I'm in the, you know what, you show me. I think it's possible. I don't really believe it. You show me. But I don't want any knee-jerk reaction of a trade. I don't want anything out of desperation. And you know what? We got to get this guy right away. I got to do, like, you know what? For once, can we slowly stand back, have a plan in place? You know, think, can we get Kyrie Irving? Is that realistic next year? See, my concern with him, and you don't have anything to trade for him anyway, so I don't know how you'd get him now. But my concern with him is, what happens if they go Game 7 Warriors, great series, and he says, you know what, I want another shot at these guys. Now, I don't know that happens, but a lot of things can happen over the course of a year. But for the Knicks this next year, it's about, and this is a tough thing to say, it's about being bad, it's about playing for a big-time pick, it's about developing the young players, and it's about 2020. It's not about 2018-19. It's about 19-20 and 2021. And that's what the Knicks are right now. And hopefully Mills and Perry and Fizdale. Look, they've got, because this is now, you know what the NBA is now? It's almost like college recruiting. You have to recruit these star players to sell them and sway them on why your team, or figure out a way to get two or three to come together and play on the same team. Does drafting matter? Of course. Does future planning matter? Of course. But a lot of it is about how do we properly set ourselves up so that, you know, Kyrie and another big-time player want to come and play together. Because that's what this is like now. It's like Coach K. It's like Roy Williams. It's like Bill Self. The NBA has now turned itself into college recruiting.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
We get back to the Knicks, and again, we have the draft on Thursday night, 7 o'clock right here on 98.7 ESPN. I'm just hopeful that they are patient. I don't want anything dumb. I don't want anything that makes you say, what, why? Obviously, and this is interesting, the chips that there are around the NBA, we're going to find out LeBron, Kawhi, is there going to be a trade? You know, there's a real chance that Lonzo Ball gets dealt now. And I would almost pay for Lonzo Ball to play for Greg Popovich to see how that panned out. Wouldn't that be sensational to watch, like, the most intense, level-headed, no-nonsense coach in all of sport to deal with that? How do you think Greg Popovich would deal with it if he was rapping about another player on the team? Or how delicious would it be? By the way, Messi just took a penalty shot, got stopped. So Ronaldo scores a hat trick. Messi on a PK can't even score. How great would LeVar Ball and Greg Popovich be? Oh God! I'm not even exaggerating. I would pay like a weekly fee to watch a reality show of that. I really would. And just watch Pop absolutely undress him.
LeVar Ball saying Pop has lost the team. Remember, he said that about Luke Walton.
I know.
Could you imagine him saying that about Greg Popovich?
If I was Luke Walton, I would have banned him. I would have banned him from the facility. I would have banned him from the stadium. I would have absolutely lost my mind.
Mid-February, right. LeVar says Pop has lost the team.
Oh, God. Pop would, I don't even know what he would do. I would be great. It would be so entertaining. But we'll see. Stephen A. joined us, I don't know, one day this week, Thursday or Wednesday. And he said he believes LeBron goes to the Lakers. So if you get LeBron, and here's the thing, which is, I don't know if you feel like this. Everyone looks at, you know, when they talk about star players, Chris Paul and LeBron and Kawhi and Paul George. I don't know if it's only me, but I'm sorry, Paul George is not on this list of the elite of the elite. He's good. Maybe on a big team, he's the third of three, but he is not. It's not, if you go LeBron and Paul George, you're not winning a championship like that. Like, I don't think Paul George is all that much better than Kevin Love as a number two guy, to be honest with you. 800-919-3776. Bob in Rutherford. Bob, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
What's up, guys? I love your show during the week. I can never get through. All right? I know you hate the Yankees, but I want to just be objective, okay?
I'm always objective. Ty's the producer. Ty loves the Yankees. Ty, even though you know my dislike for the Yankees, am I always objective in my analysis?
100% objective.
Thank you. Okay, Bob, continue.
Now, I'll preface this with, let's face it, the Yankees and Mets are never making a trade, all right?
Probably
the
so.
Mets cannot, they'll never deal with DeGrom when helping us win a World Series. But I'm just so tired of the Mets fans calling in and starting with Andujar and Torres.
I've never heard Andujar and Torres. I have never heard that one time.
I've heard it on other shows. And it's ridiculous. I want you to be objective and put yourself in Cashman's shoes, okay? Now, I don't expect, no, I'm not the Yankee fan that expects to give away a bag of balls to get DeGrom, all right? You could start the trade off with, I'll give you even Andujar and Clint Frazier. Now you're going to have two starters for the next 10 years and a middling pitcher maybe in the minor leagues, okay? Because we have tons of them. It's not Justin Sheffield. You're not getting him, though. I want you to be objective and be Brian Cashman. What would you give up to get DeGrom?
If I am Cashman, I would give up. Well, here's the thing, and it depends how steadfast the Mets are going to be. Because remember, if you're the Yankees, you know, there are people that believe they need him more than others. I think if you got an elite starter like that, I think you're the Yankees. I think you're clearly the favorite to win the World Series. What would I give up? Now, remember, Mets can shop him to anywhere. Yankees, you know, really need him. But there are other guys that they could get as well. I would give up Andujar, Frazier, and a real pitcher.
Now, when you say real pitcher, are we talking about Jonathan Loaiza, the kid that pitched last night?
Chance Adams.
Are you talking Justin Sheffield?
I'm talking a real pitcher.
That package is too much.
Well,
I know, but like,
then maybe you don't get him.
Then if I'm the Yankees, I'd roll the dice. First off, I don't think he's on the market. But if the Giants start to fade in the next few weeks, I'd rather Bumgarner.
Oh, you're talking about Bumgarner?
Yeah, because if the Giants fade, they should put him on the block, right? Now,
if he wants to go, they're built around him, and the guy's got another year on his deal, and he's 29. So why would you trade him?
Because there have been rumors out there that if they fade, that they're looking to restock their farm system.
But this is a guy that's backwoods North Carolina. I don't know that he wants to come pitch for the Yankees. And if you get Bumgarner, you don't think you're going to have to pay through the nose to get him?
See, now, I would give up more to get Bumgarner than DeGrom. And I know DeGrom proved himself in the playoffs with the one wild card game he did pitch.
He was great. And he didn't even have his stuff, and he was great in that game five.
Yeah, Bumgarner's postseason resume is far and away much better.
You're not getting an argument from me. Bumgarner right now is the best big game pitcher in baseball.
I totally 100% agree.
And but you're gonna have to pay a ton for him.
See, now I would give up much more for Bumgarner than I would for DeGrom because one, he's 2 years younger, and he's a more proven commodity in the postseason. I just wanted to see how objective you would be.
I'm very objective. Look, if I'm the Mets and I'm going to trade DeGrom, you're going to have to wow me. And if it's not you, then maybe it's Boston because they, you know, and I get it. The Yankees have an elite minor league system, but it's not like the Yankees have the only minor league system. There are other teams that have elite prospects on the horizon. And if you want to get a guy that increases your odds 10 times to win the World Series, you're going to have to pay for him because the Mets don't have to trade him. And he's reasonable and he's under control for 2 more years after this one. Right? So, again, I don't know what the plan for the Mets is. You know, the Yankees and Mets are going in completely different directions. The next 6 weeks will be fascinating for the Yankees because we're going to see what, if anything, they actually go ahead and bring in. And fascinating for the Mets to see, have they determined that it's time to move on? And to admit that they're not good and they're not going anywhere. And we're actually at the point where let's deal some of our key pieces. Or do you just sit here and stand pat and just, you know, watch the entire ship just completely, completely crumble down? Because it kind of feels like that's the direction, knowing the Mets, that they'll wind up going in.
He's pompous.
Listen, shut up and I'll tell you the story.
He's arrogant.
Do you think there's a lot of things out there that I wouldn't be good at?
And sometimes he's downright mean.
I know you know what that's like, to be that uncomfortable, pimply-faced, not very popular kid.
But now it's your chance to prove him wrong.
It's dumb.
Call 800-919-3776 with your question and let's stump Dave Rothenberg.
Well, you can try. We'll see how successful you will be. Stump Rothenberg brought to you by the law offices of Andrew M. Cohen. All right, Ty, are you ready to play?
I'm ready to roll.
All right, how do you think I'm going to do today? You feel good?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling Hall of Fame credentials today.
Wow. Now I know what you're doing. You're setting me up to fail. And it's well played by you, but it's not going to happen. Father's Day weekend, this is my time to shine. Ty, if you will.
All right. So, a famous rapper. You should know who he is. He was born in Harlem.
I don't feel good about this.
He was killed back in 1996, celebrating a birthday today. I need you to tell me the name of this famous rapper.
Tupac. Hey! Look at that!
I'm proud of you.
How about that?
That was a softball.
Not for me. I'm not a rap guy.
I gave you so many hints, though. I said born in Harlem.
So?
Famous rapper. He was killed back in...
Famous rapper, yeah, because that could only be one guy. Has it been that long? 22 years, huh? All right, let's go to Billy, Long Island. Bill, we'll see what you bring to Stump Rothenberg today. All right, and we will move on from Bill, who's listening on the radio and not through the phone. Ted in Jersey. Ted, you're up.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
Good.
Have a Yankee trivia for you. In 1961, Roger Maris hit his 61 home runs. Name the ex-Yankee that gave up home run number 38.
The ex-Yankee that gave up home run number 38?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know.
Terry. It's easy.
It's easy?
No.
No, yeah. I don't know. What's the answer?
A famous ex-Yankee.
I have no idea. Don Larson.
That's right, Don Larson.
Oh, how about that? I'm guessing and I'm getting him right. This is going to be my day. Ty, you might be right. All right, 800-919-3776. Let's go to Joe in Massapequa. Joe, you're up.
Hey, Dave. How you doing today?
I'm okay. By the way, even though I got that question right, that was a horrendous question. Who gave up home run number 38? Go ahead. You're up.
All right, there are three major college sports teams that the school name does not end in S or have a color in it.
So the three major college sports team doesn't end in S or have a color.
Like Red Storm or Orange Men or Cornhuskers. So it doesn't end in S or have a color in it. And there's one local mid-major as a throw-in.
And there's three in all of college?
Yes.
So, Cardinal is a color or no?
Yeah, that's a color.
Yeah. And they're Division I schools.
Yes.
So it's not Red Storm, obviously. Yeah, I can't think of any. It's going through the major conferences in my head. I don't know. I don't know. Wolverines, Buckeyes, everything ends in S that I Spartans, Hawkeyes, Golden Bears is a color and an S. Green Wave has a color. I don't know. You got me.
It's Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
Right.
Illinois Fighting Illini.
Right.
And Navy Midshipmen.
Well, there you go. All right. It's a good question. And that's actually a good question, Joe. And that is something that we will always now remember. All right. Let's go to Mike in Parsippany. Mike, you're up next.
Okay, Dave. Name the first movie that Robert De Niro and Al Pacino appeared in a scene together.
So that means you're not going with The Godfather.
Nope.
They were never
on screen
together.
Yep.
Is it Heat?
Yeah, good answer.
Yeah, this is what I do. 800-919-3776, because obviously they're never in a scene in the Godfather movies. All right, Anthony, you playing today?
Yeah, Dave, I got one for you.
All right, well, you're not going to ask me some random hockey question, are you?
Aw, it's not random. I think you can get it.
No, you're unbelievable. Go ahead.
Who's the last American to win the Conn Smythe Trophy?
It's a Blackhawk?
It is.
Kane?
Yeah, you got it.
There you go. This is, I mean, I'm 4-1 right now. Ty, how good am I doing today?
4-1?
4-1.
Batting 800.
That's not bad.
Told you, Hall of Fame credentials.
Clearly not going to be the Mets batting 800. Chris on Long Island. Chris, you're up.
Hey, Dave, listen, I think this is a biology question. I'm not too sure, though.
Wait, you don't even know the genre of the question?
I think it's biology. All Why right. is it that fingernails grow 3 times faster than toenails?
Blood supply.
Yeah, wow, you're a smart man.
I mean, the knowledge that goes on in my head is really second to absolutely none. John in Westfield. I'm red hot, John. Be careful.
Hey, what's going on, Dave?
How you doing, Johnny?
Well, I got an NFL draft question for you.
Okay.
What 3 quarterbacks from the 2013 NFL draft started a game last season?
2013 NFL draft.
Yes, sir.
All right. Did E.J. Manuel start a game last year? I don't think so. Did E.J. Manuel start a game? I'm going to say E.J. Manuel. Did he start a game?
Yes, sir.
That's only one, right? You wanted 3? Well, Geno Smith, unfortunately, started a game last year. And I need one more for you, right? 2013. And this is going to be an obscure guy, isn't it?
Yeah, he started the first 3
Mike
games.
Mike Lennon.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I mean, to say red hot would be an understatement of what's happening right now. Ty, do you have another one?
Yes, I do.
Are you not wowed at what I've done so far today?
This is amazing.
I mean, what am I, 7-1?
You are 6-1, I believe.
6-1. All right, go ahead. What's the genre, Ty? The genre.
Let's go movies.
Movies.
I'm not going to give you an obscure NBA Elias Spears sports
free
real
throw
question.
With 11 minutes to go in the fourth quarter.
Do you remember 72? The movie Scream and that came out in 1996? Obviously, yeah. There were versions of it.
Yes.
How many people died?
How many people died in the movie Scream?
The one that came out in 1996.
Yeah, I know. With Neve Campbell. It was Kevin Williamson who did the movie, who also did Dawson's Creek.
It's not going to get 2 points.
No, I'm not.
I need the answer.
I'm not
going to
get it right. It's going to be a complete guess. I'm going to guess 7.
Dave, come on.
Is that, and I'm not exaggerating. It was a complete guess.
On fire.
And so was the Don Larson one, by the way. This really is unbelievable. All right, let's go to Mike in Jersey. Mike, you're up next.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
Good.
First, I just want to tell you, I love your show during the day. The camaraderie of the three of you guys is just amazing.
Well, thank you very much. We love doing it. Thanks. I appreciate it.
You know what I love? When you disagree, there's just no animosity. Just you let each other talk, and it's wonderful. But nonetheless, here's my question.
Yep.
The movie The Bodyguard. With Kevin Costner and Whitney Houston, it was supposed to, they were supposed to be made years earlier. Can you tell me who the 2 actors would have been?
Oh, no. I will guess Sophia Loren. And I don't know. I have no idea. What's the answer?
Steve McQueen and Diana Ross.
All right. That's nice. That's a good question. Boy, they would want to make that years and years before. All right, let's go to Noel in Union City. Noel, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
What NBA player has the most consecutive double-doubles?
Could be Moses Malone. Could be Kareem. Could be Wilt. Those are the 3 that I'm thinking of. Wilt was such a
think of more because it's not none of those.
I'm going to say Wilt Chamberlain.
Incorrect. Kevin Love.
No way.
There's 53 consecutive double doubles.
How many?
53.
There was a year that Wilt Chamberlain averaged 50 and 25. There is no way. Ty, you got to look that up because there is zero chance that is right. None. If you guys are going to call and ask questions, you got to be accurate with the answers. Otherwise, we can't do it. Because that is, Ty, you can look it up. There is zero chance that is correct. I don't want to end like that. Let's go to Alex in Jersey. Alex, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
All right, I got a college basketball question for you.
Okay.
It goes back pretty far. Can you name the first 3-time All-American in college basketball? Really famous guy. And what school did he play for?
I would say Will Chamberlain again. He played
John Wooden.
John Wooden. All right. And John Wooden went to Purdue, I believe.
Boiler up.
Yeah, all right. All right. There you go. All right. I feel violated from the prior question. James, I'm told James has a good question. So we'll go with James in Jersey. James, you're up next.
Hey, Dave, quick question. He's the only NBA player to go platinum, recording-wise, and do a song with the Notorious B.I.G.
Huh. So that has got to be 20 years ago.
If you need a hint, I got a hint for you.
This is not my Shaq?
Yeah, oh man, you're good. You're good.
Oh, and that's it. And we will call it on there. That is that. Now, Ty, did you look up the double-double question?
You were correct with Wilt Chamberlain. He was way off. He said Kevin Love with, what, 63?
53 or 63?
Yeah, Wilt has the all-time record, 227 consecutive games with the double-double.
So what kind of nonsense is that?
I don't know.
How good was I today, Ty?
You were amazing. Like I said, Hall of you finished batting like 800.
Yeah, that was pretty darn good. Even guys calling with questions that they were wrong, I knew the right answers.
Even on guesses, you were 2 for 2 on random
the
guesses.
The Don Larson and the
seven with Scream.
No idea. Complete guesses.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.